This is a very good book on UFO healings. And the numbers red is directing to the footnotes.
Although there are many procedures performed upon humans aboard UFOs, the central and most consistent feature to all UFO abductions does appear to be the physical examination. In case after case, the details are the same. People report being paralyzed as they are undressed and placed on an examination table. Samples of skin, hair, nails, blood, and reproductive material are often taken. The examination may involve lights and / or various instruments that are placed on or near the body. In some cases, people report pain caused by needles or devices that are placed in virtually every orifice in the human body. Other controversial reports are those of female abductees who experience what has come to be known as the missing fetus syndrome, cases in which pregnant women have had their fetus taken during a gynecological procedure inside a UFO. With the aid of hypnosis, the witnesses often recall that their babies were removed from their uterus by the ETs. Males report having their sperm taken. All of these cases have taught us many things. One fact, however, has become crystal clear. The aliens have a deep, almost obsessive, interest in the human body. Betraying this obsession is the fact that the vast majority of abductees can point to a scar or mark on their body given to them by the ETs. As one studies the accounts, a very strong medical theme becomes increasingly apparent. But what does this mean? One conclusion is obvious. Since the aliens are so interested in the human body, since they have studied it extensively for many years, they must know a great deal about how the human body works. Given that their technology appears to be far in advance of our own, it's likely that they know more about the human body than we do. With their advanced technology and their extensive knowledge of human physiology, the conclusion is inescapable: aliens make good doctors. But is this really true? Are their medical skills and knowledge superior to our own? All we really know about aliens is what the people who have encountered them tell us. And in many cases, the abductee is impressed by how closely the room resembles a hospital room. In the exam room, everything is clean and spotless. The examinations are typically brief, lasting about 15 minutes. Abductees report that the aliens do their jobs with efficiency and speed. It's not difficult to find cases that illustrate the medical expertise of the ETs. Let us examine a few of them. One early UFO abduction case to receive widespread publicity occurred in 1953 in Tujuga, California. The story was told in the Tujuga Canyon Contacts by Druffel and Rogo, and involves multiple abductions and, of course, the standard medical examination. During Sarah Shaw's exam, one of the aliens became interested in the scars on her body. "They're looking at my lung surgery," Sarah explains. "My scar from my lung surgery, that scar fascinates them. They came over to look at that scar too. They seem fascinated by that." Two, Sarah actually used medical terms to describe the room. "They're taking me to an examining table. It's like an X-ray table." Sarah was told she was being examined. "They said an electronic beam. Some kind of equipment to examine me. That I don't have to be afraid of it, and it isn't going to hurt me." 3. Sammy Desmond, an abductee from Reseda, California, describes the inside of the UFO into which he was taken. "It was a small room, all white, light-colored and round," he says. "There was a table in the middle, and there were wall lights and things all over. The only thing I remember in the room besides the table was a huge, white, bright light in my face. It was a hospital-type skinny table. Desmond describes his abductor's clothing using familiar medical terminology. They had white jacket sort of outfits, sort of like hospital uniforms. 4. Examinations aboard UFOs are remarkably similar to exams in a doctor's office. Abductee Barbara X describes her exam. They took a skin scraping. They looked at my bad leg. They said, "You had an accident." And I said, "Yes." They said, "You had your female organs removed." I said, "Yes." They clipped my fingernails and a piece of my hair. They took a blood sample. 5. The ETs are very thorough in their exams. Abductee Tom X says, "I'm inside some sort of room-like area, on a table, undressed, nude, and I don't like this at all. They touched me with instruments. And they were cold, hard, probably metallic. They were prodding and probing and poking. Something was inserted in my penis, and that was distinctly unpleasant, not painful." 6. Well-known Massachusetts abductee, Betty Adria Solyuka, has experienced many examinations at the hands of aliens. Needles have been inserted into her abdomen, her nose, her eyes and more. As she describes one incident, "They are holding some needles by my head, and I just feel something's moving in there. They are putting something sharp in my heel, so it feels like they are shooting something inside me." 7. Bob Luca, Betty's husband, also an abductee, describes the room he was taken to in familiar terms. "Looks like an operating table," he says. "Looks like a dentist's drill. It's folded up into the ceiling and there's a black thing on the end of it. I can't really draw it. But it looks like a dentist's drill. The arm comes out." 8. The earliest publicized UFO abduction account in the United States, the case of Betty and Barney Hill of 1961, also displays a prominent medical theme. Barney Hill describes the room he was taken to aboard a UFO. "I saw a hospital room," he says. "It was pale blue, sky blue. It was spotless. I thought of everything being so clean." Betty Hill's account is also filled with medical terms. "The examiner opens my eyes, and looks at them with a light, and he opens my mouth, and he looks in my throat and my teeth, and he looks in my ears, and he turned my head, and he looked in this ear. They take a couple of strands of my hair. They look at my feet and they look at my hands. They look at my hands all over and he cuts off a piece of my fingernail." Betty's examination also involved an apparent pregnancy test using technology that was in advance of our own, but not for long. The ET examining Betty pierced her abdomen with a large needle. "I asked the leader, 'Why did they put that needle in my navel?' And he said it was a pregnancy test. I said, 'I don't know what they expected, but that was no pregnancy test here.'" In 1961, there were no pregnancy tests performed in this manner. Today we have many medical procedures using laparoscopy, which is performed in a manner remarkably similar to what Betty reported. 9. Bud Hopkins has done a great service to humanity by helping to bring the subject of UFO abductions under public scrutiny. One of the abductees featured in Hopkins' book, Missing Time, is Michael Bashad, whose account appears under the pseudonym Stephen Kilber. Bashad's examination involved the opening and probing of his back. "It's the one doctor's office I didn't have to wait to get into, I guess," Bashad joked. Following his abduction, Bashad consulted with a professional neurosurgeon named Drive Cooper, and explained how the aliens had stimulated certain nerves, causing certain reactions. Drive Cooper was impressed. He, Bashad, exactly described the motor reaction that happens when the femoral nerve is stimulated. And he has no particular knowledge of the nervous system. I'm really impressed with him. I told him that it seemed to me they just wanted to find out how he worked. 10 Drive. David Jacobs Phase D. Has described the alien examination as being very similar to examinations done by humans. Scabs, infections, or other body marks and changes attract their attention, he writes. For instance, a woman who had given birth by cesarean section had new scars that drew the attention of the aliens who told her that this was not the way that they did it. 11 Jacobs has investigated many cases involving highly technological medical equipment. Currently beyond our own capabilities. The variety of machine examinations is great, he writes, although the exact purpose of the machines is unknown. Most abductees think they are recording devices, much like X-ray equipment. Somehow people know that the machines are scanning them, taking pictures, or making neurological measurements. 12 Karen Morgan's case was investigated by Jacobs. She reports her unpleasant examination in her own words, "I hate this room. There's tables. This room seems more like an operating room than any of the others. I think they're going to do that physical examination again. Oh, they take off my clothes, they turn me around, and lay me down. They pull off my jeans, my underwear. They strap me onto a table." 13 When Travis Walton, a woodcutter from Arizona, was abducted into a UFO in 1975, he looked around the room and instantly assumed he was inside a hospital. "They brought me into a hospital, I thought," says Walton. "I would let the doctors do all the worrying. I was safe for now. Maybe I was in an emergency room of some kind." Walton only realized that the hospital was actually the inside of a UFO when gray aliens entered the room. Walton now speculates that the ETs may have been saving his life. 14 Walton is not the only person to assume they were taken to a hospital. On June 2011, a nurse from Naples, Florida experienced a UFO abduction from her bedroom. She didn't want to talk about it because it scared her, and she insisted upon anonymity, but felt that it was important to report what happened. "I went to sleep around 10:00 p.m. She says. "I regained consciousness in what seemed like a hospital room. The first thing I noticed was I was lying back down on what appeared to be a hospital bed. Immediately I assume I'm in a hospital. As I realized there was no way I could be in a hospital, I began to look around." The witness soon realized she was aboard a UFO. She experienced a prolonged and complicated abduction and woke up in the morning with a scar on her foot. "I still have the physical marking left over from what they did, even to this day." 15 The aliens' interest in medicine is once again illustrated by the following case. Noah, pseudonym, is a C6 quadriplegic, bound to his wheelchair in his Colorado Springs, Colorado home. On the evening of July 5, 2011, he woke to notice an odd hieroglyphic-like symbol on his right hip. Hot to the touch, it appeared almost branded into his skin. Over the next 3 weeks it scabbed over and began to heal. It was a strange symbol, with one vertical line on the left side, three horizontal stacked lines in the center, three dots in a vertical line on the right, and stray markings below it. "At first my aide mentioned it," says Noah, "and I figured it was nothing until I saw it in a mirror. It was shockingly unnatural, and I felt a deep conviction it was made by intelligent design." Noah racked his brain. What could have caused this symbol on his hip to suddenly appear. There was nothing in his environment that could have done it. And yet there it was. All of a sudden in the shower it hit me, says Noah. A dream from the previous night. I remember being in a bright room or area, feeling very calm and not scared. This was induced and I was artificially numb to what I was encountering. An entity proceeded to ask me questions about my spinal cord injury. I was asked specifically about my hands, fingers and arms. Why were they as such? What was done to try and fix me? Why was one side stronger? I answered without hesitation. What happened next Noah couldn't explain. I was very psychologically level, says Noah. Then I felt pain, looked at my right hand. All fingers were straight and spread. This isn't possible without lengthy splinting. Next my left hand and fingers did the same thing. This hurt, but it was good to see all the same. The entities seemed not to understand why I remained paralyzed, and I got the impression they were surprised forward slash upset forward slash confused as to what I can only guess they perceived to be primitive medical technology. This is all I remember from the dream, but had I not seen the mark on my skin, I would never have recalled anything. 16. Yet another case that indicates the ET's interest in medicine was reported by UFO researcher Tina Choate of the International UFO Research Center in Scottsdale, Arizona. A woman and her husband were driving in the Gila Bend area, date not given, when they saw a large craft with a ring of blue lights around the circumference. Convinced they were seeing something unusual, they pulled off the road to observe. Their next memory was waking up to find themselves 20 miles farther along the road. Later, the woman, who was a nurse, decided to try regressive hypnosis to recover her memories of the missing time. Under hypnosis, she recalled that both she and her husband were taken on board the craft. The ETs, not described, told the nurse that they had abducted her because she had a basic understanding of the human body, and they wanted her to interface with them and learn about biochemistry and healing applications. 17. In 1986, I investigated an abduction case in which the witness, Kelly Robinson of Reseda, California, was taken involuntarily into a UFO, put on a table, examined, her arm was cut, and she was then told by the gray type ETs that they were going to operate on her brain. They tried to do something to my brain, she says, and I was fighting them all the way. Subsequently, Kelly had 3 follow-up encounters in which she was given precognitive information about her personal life, her work and her church. I think they're religious, she says. They're not really out to hurt us. They're out to learn. Kelly had a series of 4 or 5 encounters. After her final encounter, Kelly's mother, Diane, had a dream during which she was taken into a weird round room. The room was strange, says Diane. It was like nothing I've ever seen before. It was not walls like we know. The walls were kind of rounded. It was different, not like a regular room. It was sort of blue, like a pastel. In the center was a strange device, holding babies. Says Diane, there was this round cylinder type thing that turned around and around. There were all these babies in little compartments, like in enclosures. It was sort of like a Christmas tree. It was narrow at the top and came down, and all these little compartments and these babies, there was something wrong with every one of them. Diane explained that while the babies seemed healthy, they were different. She saw one baby with a huge head and a small body. Another baby appeared to have 2 heads. She saw conjoined twins. Standing next to the device was a red-haired, human-looking woman in a strange uniform. She was in a white coat, like you would see a doctor, explains Diane. She didn't look like a nurse because she had white tight pants on, and shoes. And she was really neat-looking. Everything was spotless, everything, like it was a germ-free environment. Everything was spotless. The lady told Diane that it wasn't planned this way, but that the babies still need love. She encouraged Diane to hold the babies, which Diane refused to do. 18 Many abductees are so conscious of the medical capabilities of the aliens that they actually call them doctors. Shane Kuz, an abductee from New York State, describes what she saw inside a UFO. There is a table. Everything is so white, those eyes, they are telling me, lie down. They are taking my arm and scratching it. It hurts. And he is putting it on wax paper or something. It is square-like and he gives it to the doctor. The doctor. Doctor, I like him. 19 Despite all the controversy surrounding UFOs, there is one thing that many UFO investigators agree upon: UFOs represent a superior technology. UFOs have demonstrated time and again that their machines are more powerful than our own. Their craft easily outdistance our fastest jets. They remove people from cars, dense suburbs, hotels and apartment buildings. They subject people to examinations and operations whose purposes we can only guess at. In addition, they often leave people with little or no conscious memory of what has happened to them. The aliens have shown themselves to be outstanding pilots, superb hypnotists, and excellent scientists. In the field of medicine, however, the extraterrestrials are unparalleled. Their medical technology and procedures are far in advance of our own. Their knowledge of the human body is also way beyond our own. This is evidenced not only by the reports from the thousands of people who have been examined aboard UFOs, but from the many accounts of healings. Most people have little physical evidence of their encounter, except perhaps a scar. Some, however, are given more dramatic proof of alien intervention. Often the proof amazes even experienced UFO investigators. Because of this, accounts of UFO healings have been largely hidden from public view. However, these cases clearly show that aliens have the capability to cure virtually every illness or disease known to humankind. Although the cases are not usually well publicized, aliens have been actively curing people across the planet for at least 100 years, perhaps longer. The evidence is in the pages that follow. Chapter 2, Medical Evidence. When the modern age of UFOs began in the late 1940s, investigators had access to only a small amount of UFO evidence. At first, UFO investigators were largely limited to recording sightings and comparing them to other sightings. As time went on, more evidence accumulated in the form of radar returns, photographs and films, landing traces, reports of humanoids and the first abduction accounts. By the 1970s, UFO abductions were becoming more widely publicized, and since then, the focus has shifted toward studying the accounts involving close interactions with UFO occupants. As the number of reported encounters increased, a new type of evidence began to exhibit itself. This evidence involved human physiological reactions to the close presence of a UFO. It became termed medical evidence. Medical evidence was quickly determined to be of profound importance, and it sometimes became the pivotal detail compelling investigators to accept the truth of a UFO witness's claims. Medical evidence, it turned out, could make or break a case. The Mutual UFO Network, MUFO, the world's largest civilian UFO research organization today, has chapters in every state in the U.S. and several thousand members worldwide. MUFO field investigators are provided with an investigator's manual and reporting forms for UFO witnesses to complete. One section of the manual focuses on medical effects. It lists the most common physiological effects as tingle or shock, dizziness, noticeable body temperature change, unexpected joint or muscle stiffness, motor skills affected, e.g. spasms or paralysis, levitation of the witness, eye irritation or impairment of sight, ear irritation or impairment of hearing, nose irritation or impairment of smell, a burning sensation or actual skin burn, skin rash, cut or gouge, headache, loss of appetite, nausea, extreme fatigue, sleep disorder, or other. A few other effects worth mentioning that are not on the list include menstrual disturbances, dehydration, bruises, scars, hair loss, alien implants, and possibly radiation sickness. The MUFO form also makes no mention of the few cases in which close encounters have resulted in the death of the witness, usually of symptoms that seem to parallel radiation sickness. There is no mention whatsoever of UFO healings. In fact, field investigators are taught that the only available medical evidence is destructive. The heading under the chapter is titled, Medical Injuries from UFO Close Encounters. According to the manual, these injuries fall into three major categories. The first are those injuries of a temporary nature, the second are those of a chronic nature, and the third are psychological manifestations. The manual instructs investigators to obtain data on the witness's blood count, possible weight loss and urinary ketones, and advises X-rays as well as biopsies of any skin lesions. One, as can be seen, the medical evidence for UFOs takes many forms, and at first glance, the list is scary, giving the impression that UFOs can be very dangerous. The veracity of a UFO case depends on many forms of evidence. An investigator is generally happy to stumble upon a case with medical evidence because it can provide the smoking gun, proof that the experience actually took place. There are now many hundreds of cases on record involving medical injuries. Let us examine some of the better known instances to see more clearly the extent of the medical evidence for UFOs. One well-known medical evidence case occurred in Texas in 1981. Three witnesses, Betty Cash, Vicky Laidrum and Colby Laidrum, all saw a UFO hovering in front of them on the road. The object emitted heat waves and evidently other types of radiation. They also saw helicopters following or escorting the object. Immediately afterward, all three began to suffer alarming symptoms. Betty had a headache, neck pains, swollen and painful eyes, sunburn, nausea, vomiting, diarrhea, loss of appetite and severe hair loss. She was treated at Parkway General Hospital in Texas as a burn victim. Later she developed breast cancer. Vicky, who was slightly further away than Betty, suffered eye irritation and minor hair loss. Colby, who was the farthest away and hunkered down in the back seat, suffered only a minor first-degree burn on his face, and eye irritation. Two, a particularly compelling example of medical injuries is the May 19, 1967 Falcon Lake, Canada case, in which prospector Stephen Michalak walked up to a landed UFO. The object took off unexpectedly, blasting him with heat and setting his shirt on fire. Following the incident, Michalak experienced intense pain, a headache, and vomiting. He rushed to the hospital. Soon after his arrival at the hospital, Michalak suffered a number of alarming symptoms including a headache, dizziness, weakness, numbness, nausea, vomiting, diarrhea, hives, swelling of the joints and hands, a burning sensation around his neck and chest, irritation, a peculiar body odor and fainting. He was unable to keep any food down and over the next few weeks, lost 22 pounds. His blood lymphocyte level decreased from a normal 25 to an alarming 16%. Mikolak was examined by more than 27 doctors, and the only explanation that seemed to fit was exposure to radiation. Three many similar incidents have occurred. On January 6, 1976, three friends, Louise Smith, Mona Stafford and Elaine Thomas, were driving through Stanford, Kentucky when they saw a UFO and experienced a period of missing time. Immediately afterward, they suffered severe eye irritation, first-degree burns on their necks, fatigue, nausea, vomiting, diarrhea and weight loss. Under hypnosis, they recalled a frightening examination by humanoid ETs. Louise Smith recalled being put on a table and examined. The ETs then made an exact mod of her body. She was told by the ETs that she was very important to them. Thomas recalled being put on a table and subjected to various strange instruments, which made it difficult for her to speak or breathe. However, it is Mona Stafford's recall that is particularly revealing. The ETs told her that they were very interested in her body and needed to do some tests. She was placed on a device which twisted her feet painfully. She was also put on a stool that seemed to undergo quick accelerations. Then they placed her on a table and proceeded to pull both her eyeballs out of their sockets. The eyeballs were placed on each cheek and remained connected to her head by various arteries and connective tissue. Stafford remained conscious during the entire episode. She was unable to observe how they performed the operation. As she says, that power just drew them right out and laid them right there. After a few moments, the ETs replaced Stafford's eyeballs and then returned the three women to their vehicle. The witnesses were left with only vague memories of what happened. Stafford, however, reported that her eyes were extremely painful. In the week following the encounters, she also became inexplicably paranoid about going blind. Finally, the burning sensation became so overwhelming that she sought the assistance of a physician who told her that her eyes had been exposed to something, most likely an irritant. In fact, it was Stafford's insistence on seeking help that eventually led to their case being fully investigated. For on October 16, 1957, the first reported abduction occurred to Brazilian farmer Antonio Villas Boas. His abduction involved many of the standard elements and also a sexual encounter with an exotic-looking alien female. After his abduction, Boas suffered from insomnia, nausea, headaches, loss of appetite, burned and watery eyes, hives, bruises and scars. He was put under the treatment of a doctor who was unable to account for the symptoms. Five cases of UFO injuries are not hard to find. On April 29, 1964, a very unusual encounter occurred in Albuquerque, New Mexico, to a young 10-year-old girl named Sharon Stull. As reported in the Albuquerque Tribune, Stull was at recess in the Lowell schoolyard when she and several other students noticed an egg-shaped thing floating high in the sky above the elementary school. While Stull says that nobody seemed to be paying much attention to the object, she kept her eye on the strange craft, which remained in place during the entire recess period. It appeared to be smaller than an airplane, and had no windows of any kind. When recess was over, Stull returned to her class. About a half hour later, her eyes suddenly became red, inflamed and irritated. She rinsed out her eyes, but when the symptoms worsened, Stahl's teacher excused her and sent her to see the school doctor. The doctor immediately called Stahl's mother, who came to the school and rushed Sharon to the nearby Bato hospital. Stahl's injuries turned out to be severe. Her doctor diagnosed her with membrane inflammation of both eyes and first-degree burns under the eyes and on the nose. Doctors treated Stahl, but were unable to explain the symptoms. Says Sharon's mother, Mrs. Max Stahl, they instructed me to keep her blinds drawn to protect her inflamed eyes and eyelids from light. Part of my daughter's face and nose appeared to be puffy and red. She continued to complain of burning pains. Sharon's case became publicized and provoked an official response from Police Chief B. Martinez, who issued an unprecedented warning to Albuquerque residents, warning them to stay away from any mysterious unidentified objects. Chief Martinez didn't reveal his own views on the subject, other than to say that UFOs should be treated with respect and caution. After being treated for her injuries, Sharon Stahl was given dark glasses to wear while her eyes healed. For some time following the sighting, she could only read a few paragraphs before her eyes began to hurt. Eye irritation is one of the most common physiological effects resulting from a UFO encounter. However, what happened next was almost unheard of. 4 months later, the Albuquerque Tribune published a follow-up article on Stahl's case. According to her mother, Sharon had grown 5.5 inches and gained 25 pounds in the 4 weeks following the sighting. As Mrs. Stahl told reporters, a while ago she was just a child who liked to play with dolls and cutouts. Now she is suddenly mature and grown up, cooks meals by herself, cleans house and takes care of the younger children. Now Sharon is 5 feet 2 inches tall and weighs 110 pounds and is still growing. My daughter has outgrown all her clothes and quickly outgrows new garments and shoes. I'm so confused, I don't know what to believe. I know she definitely saw something in the sky that day, but I don't know what. It has been a nightmare for us ever since. I wish I had kept her inside that day. According to Mrs. Stahl, Sharon, herself, was unable to account for her sudden growth, saying, "Only, I just feel funny." Sixbert Hopkins has investigated several encounters involving medical injuries. One interesting case involves a man who was hospitalized because of a suspected kidney tumor. The doctors made this diagnosis due to peculiar marks found on his abdomen. The suspected tumor was never found. The patient neglected to tell the doctors that the marks appeared after an apparent UFO abduction. 7. Hopkins' book, Missing Time, profiles the experiences of Virginia Horton. Immediately after one of her abductions, Horton was returned with a large cut. She still bears the scar. "I think my leg was cut with a scalpel," Horton said. "It was just really sharp and clean, as if somebody made a nice, clean, quick incision." 8. On another occasion, Horton was filmed immediately after an abduction. The film clearly shows fresh blood on her blouse. The blood had come from a puncture wound caused by a nasal probe during her abduction. Incidentally, the ETs told Horton that they had abducted her because, as Horton explains, "they were celebrating and they said they wanted to share it with me because my research or their research was interesting." 9. On January 3, 1979, Filiberto Cardes of Hialeah, Florida and 3 friends were driving when their car mysteriously stalled. A UFO appeared overhead and Cardes was lifted up into the UFO in full view of his friends. The UFO took off and Cardes was deposited a few hours later several miles from where he was taken. Following the abduction, Cardes suffered many symptoms, including insomnia, excessive thirst, excessive sexual appetite, changes in body temperature, peculiar body odor, skin abrasions and marks, headaches and eye irritation. Physicians at Jackson Memorial Hospital verified these symptoms. 10 British researcher, Timothy Good, reports on another well-documented case involving medical injuries. In 1981, Denise Bishop observed a UFO hovering above her home in Plymouth, England. As she watched the object, a beam came out and struck her hand, with a paralyzing effect. As soon as it hit my hand, I couldn't move, Bishop said. I was stopped dead in my tracks. A few seconds later, the beam retracted and Bishop rushed back inside. Shortly later, she noticed that the beam had burned her hand. As she says, on looking at it, I noticed spots of blood and after watching it, saw it was a burn. A few days later, the burn had become worse, so Bishop saw a doctor, who told her that the burn was typical of injuries caused by lasers. Bishop still carries the scar where she was burned by the UFO. 11 In 1964, 8-year-old Charles Keith Davis of New Mexico experienced extensive injuries as the result of a UFO encounter. He was outside playing in his backyard when an object swooped down from the sky and covered him in a blackish ball of fire. He was rushed to the hospital and treated for severe burns. 12. Equally impressive is the case of James Flynn of Florida. While hiking out in the Everglades, Flynn encountered a UFO that flashed him with a beam of light. Flynn immediately lost consciousness. When he awoke, the UFO was gone, leaving him partially blind in his left eye and totally blind in his right eye. In addition, his forehead and face became red and swollen. Flynn eventually recovered, except for a partial cloudiness in his right eye. 13 Abduction investigator John Carpenter has uncovered at least one healing case, and another involving what appears to be a bizarre medical experiment. At the first annual Gulf Breeze UFO conference in 1993, Carpenter revealed the details of an abduction case involving a young girl who was taken inside a UFO. While on board, the lower half of her body was cut away, taken out of the room, and a new lower half was brought in and attached to her. This strange procedure allegedly resulted in the teenager being unusually proportioned. 14 Roger Lear DPM is perhaps best known for his research into alien implants. However, during his research into a UFO crash in Brazil, known as the Varginha incident, Lear uncovered one extremely bizarre close encounter case involving a poor Brazilian family who reside on the outskirts of the Amazon jungle. Writes Lear, a series of events occurred with this family that for many would seem similar to other typical alien visitation or abduction scenarios. In this case, however, the exception was that the abductors told their victim they were going to remove his eyes and this procedure would help them further the health of the world's population. The poor man totally accepted their explanation. He awoke the next morning blind. His eyes had been removed in total. He was not upset and it was only on the insistence of other family members that he consented to seek the opinion of an ophthalmologist. It will probably not come as a surprise that the doctor did not believe his story and told one of his relatives that whomever removed the eyes was a very skilled surgeon and did a magnificent job. 15 One man was even able to receive workers' compensation after his injurious encounter with a UFO. Night watchman Harry Sturdivant of New Jersey was buzzed by a UFO. Shortly afterward, he experienced nausea and loss of his sense of smell and taste. He was unable to swallow and soon collapsed in pain, forcing him to seek medical attention. 6 weeks later, a workers' compensation referee ruled in Sturdivant's favor, requiring that he be reimbursed for all medical expenses caused by his UFO encounter. 16 medical injury cases are occurring across the world. In South America, on the islands around Bulum, there are dozens of cases involving people who have been struck by UFO beams that cause a number of alarming symptoms. Drive. Carvalho, the director of the Community Health Center of Marajo, has verified all these symptoms, including weakness, dizziness, headaches, low blood pressure, emia, burns, puncture wounds and hair loss. In several of these cases, the witnesses died shortly after being struck by the UFO beams. 17 death by UFO encounter is extremely rare, but it does happen. Probably the most well-known is that of João Prestes Filho of Brazil. Prestes was struck by a beam of light from a UFO, causing pain, swelling, headaches and burns. Shortly afterward, his flesh began to fall from his bones as if boiled. He was rushed to the hospital, but died before he arrived. 18 Many other cases of UFO injuries could be listed. Richard Hall's outstanding reference book, Uninvited Guests, outlines more than 30 separate cases involving physiological effects of all kinds, including a few healing cases. 19 John Skusler's reference book, UFO-related human physiological effects, lists more than 400 cases of physiological effects. Not all of these are injuries, writes Skusler. A listing of the more obvious effects of interest to UFO medical researchers includes feelings of heat, field effects, hair stands on end, disorientation, time loss, pain, headache, paralysis, marks on skin, burns, first, second and third degree, lumps, bumps, growths, sores, loss of appetite, diarrhea, eye problems, hair loss /gain, tooth damage /decay, psychological problems, and paranormal effects. Many of the effects listed are temporary, such as paralysis. A smaller portion involve actual injuries, some serious, most minor. Of the 400 plus cases, only 5 involve healings. A few of the cases listed neglect to mention that a healing even took place. Skusler, who served as the president of MUFO, writes, "Don't expect government help. The UFO cover-up has been going on so long that it is useless to believe that help is forthcoming, no matter how strong is the evidence of government involvement." 20 In his book, Deadly UFOs and the Disappeared, Rob Shulsky explores cases involving UFO-caused injuries and missing people, presenting a convincing argument that not all UFOs are friendly. Of healing cases, Shulsky writes, "Nor can we consider the rare abductee who say they were cured of cancer or any such thing, while being abducted, as positive evidence. First, we have absolutely no reliable data to support this claim. Secondly, the placebo effect is powerful. Indeed, and so if they are told they were cured, they might well be cured. This does not mean the extraterrestrials necessarily accomplished such a cure." 21 Despite the huge number of UFO encounters with medical effects, the vast majority involve no medical effects at all. Compared to the actual number of encounters, injuries are very rare. The central issue, however, is that medical evidence of a UFO encounter can play a crucial role in determining the credibility of a case. Medical evidence is particularly important because it is often the only hard physical evidence available to the UFO researcher. Medical evidence represents a vital piece of the UFO puzzle. Early accounts of UFO healings were slow to be recognized or researched. At first, the accounts were not believed, and most received very little publicity or attention from investigators. As time passed, however, more witnesses reported these cures. The number of cases continued to grow. Gradually, UFO researchers recognized the importance of these cases and began to document them in more detail. Today, the healing power of UFOs is a recognized feature of UFO encounters. New accounts continue to be reported each year. The UFO healing phenomenon is incredibly complex. The cases that follow are numerous and varied. But each provides a small window into the heart of the UFO phenomenon, answering the many questions we have about ETs, who they are, where they come from, and why they are here. What exactly is the ET agenda on our planet? As the following pages will prove, one of their agendas is to heal human beings. Part 1, Healings of Injuries. Injuries and wounds are a fact of life. Almost everyone who has lived on Earth has had the painful experience of burning themselves, sustaining a cut or bruise, straining a muscle, or worse, breaking a bone. Thankfully, the body is strong enough to recover by itself from most minor injuries. Only in serious cases do we rush to the hospital for treatment. Whatever the injury and its level of seriousness, Earth doctors are limited in their abilities to treat wounds. They can clean a wound and stitch it closed. They can apply salve to a burn or set a broken bone. They can mitigate the pain caused by an injury. But they can't heal it. Our medical science has yet to advance to the level where a single laser-like instrument can make a cut disappear. The only known cure for a flesh wound is time. The human body repairs itself, but at a slow rate. Therefore, if we hurt ourselves, we often suffer for days, weeks, or even months as the process of healing takes place. Some people, however, have the incredible fortune of experiencing a UFO healing. Part 1 of this book documents 76 cases of injury. Healings, about 25% of the total number of cases. As we shall see, the aliens are quite proficient in healing injuries of all kinds. It doesn't matter what type of wound it is, where it is on the body, whether it's minor or severe, the ETs have healed it. Cuts, wounds, bruises, burns, broken bones, head injuries all have been healed. Injuries caused by falls, car accidents, animal attacks, assault and more are all represented. Chapter 3, Hands and Arms. We begin our exploration into the healing power of UFOs with 10 cases in which people have been healed of injuries sustained to their hands or arms. As with all the accounts in this book, the cases are presented in chronological order. We begin with the first UFO healing case on record. Case #001. Broken arm. In what might be the earliest UFO healing case on record, one afternoon in 1914, a young boy was riding his tricycle along a path near the town of Inverere, Scotland, when he crashed and he believes broke his arm. He sat there crying for a few moments when a little man about 2.5 feet tall suddenly appeared, evidently to help him. The boy says that somehow the little man healed his injuries almost instantly. "Who are you?" the boy asked. The little man replied that he was a gnome. The boy said he looked more like a leprechaun, to which the man replied that no, he was a gnome. The figure ran off when the boy's parents arrived, looking for their son. he told his parents what happened, but they didn't believe him. Years later, however, he stuck to his story, saying he broke his arm, and his injuries were healed by a gnome. The case was investigated by William Michael Mart, and reviewed by researchers, Albert Rosales and Patrick Gross. One, the above case is little known and difficult to verify. This next one, however, remains a classic, undisputed case in mainstream ufology, and an excellent example of a UFO healing. Case #036. Alligator bite. On September 3, 1965, two police officers, Patrol Deputy Robert W. Good and Chief Deputy Billy McCoy, were driving along Highway 36 south in Damon, Texas. The officers were returning from a high school football game. At the time, Deputy Good was suffering from a painful although minor injury. He had been bitten hours earlier by his son's baby pet alligator and his finger was red and swollen. Suddenly Chief Deputy McCoy saw strange lights rising from the right side of the road. McCoy pulled the patrol car off the road and pointed out the lights to Deputy Good. When Good looked, he also saw the lights. At this point, the lights moved toward the police officers. They weren't able to see any detail until they were very close. Then they saw a solid mass 200 to 300 feet long, and 50 feet wide. There was a bright purple light on the left side and a blue light on the right. Good estimated that the object was about the size of a football field as he could see the huge shadow it cast on the ground. Suddenly the object moved over the patrol car and cast down a beam of light. The inside of the car was lit up by the bright light, McCoy said. When the beam struck, Good's left arm with his injured finger was hanging outside the window. I could feel the heat from the light, he said. We got out of there. The two terrified officers raced away at speeds approaching 100 miles per hour. They kept going until they were back in the city, where they pulled into a diner to discuss the incident. It was then that Good noticed his finger no longer throbbed with pain. I suddenly realized it was not bothering me, he said, and I pulled it out of the bandage. Hell, you couldn't tell I had ever been bit. McCoy verified Good's story. The swelling had disappeared, McCoy said, and the finger looked a lot better. In a later interview, McCoy elaborated, I noticed Good using his left hand. I said, well, Bob, the only good thing about this is, it's made you forget about your finger. He said. You know, it's not even sore. So help me, he unwrapped those bandages and you could barely see those marks. There was no redness, the inflammation seemed to be gone. He threw the bandages away. While at the diner, the two officers were accosted by two men posing as reporters from Pasadena. Before the officers could describe their sighting, the reporters described it in detail and told the men if they had stayed at the location, the object would have landed and they would have been invited on board. The two deputies decided to return to the location of the incident to see if the object was still there. To their surprise, it was. When the UFO started to move toward the police car, the officers sped away and refused to return. They reported their sighting to the Air Force, and Major L.R. Leach of Ellicott Air Force Base conducted an investigation. The results of the investigation were that the object remains unidentified. Major Leach wrote, after talking with both officers involved in the sighting, there is no doubt in my mind that they definitely saw some unusual object or phenomenon. Officer McCoy, Leach pointed out, held a departmental position which required the supervision of more than 42 personnel. Following the incident, the officers received considerable friendly ridicule from their fellow officers. In addition, the officers were besieged by reporters and their story was told across the country. Today the account can be found in many UFO books. Two, the healing of Deputy Good's finger was one of the first UFO healings in the United States to receive any widespread publicity. Due to the credibility of the witnesses, the case was hard to explain away. The healing itself was evidently caused by the beam of light from the UFO. As we shall see, beams of light often play a starring role in reported cures of flesh wounds. Clearly, these are not normal lights. Some healings, however, are done without any instruments of any kind. Instead, the ETs use mind power, or hands-on healing methods, such as what happened to Richard Rilke. Case #049. Crushed finger. Born in 1941 in New Jersey, contactee Richard Rilke may have received more UFO healings than any other single person on public record. Throughout his childhood, he had many UFO sightings. Sometime in the 1960s, while working for a medical firm, Rilke was instructed by his supervisor to transport a barrel of chemicals. To do this, Rilke had to operate a piece of heavy equipment called a drum lifter. Heavy machinery is often dangerous, and somehow his index finger became caught in the machinery and crushed. Rilke's screams called the attention of co-workers who helped him to free his finger, which was white and terribly distorted. Rilke had no feeling in the finger and was unable to move it. He was rushed to the company's first aid room and the nurse told him to go to the hospital at once. He took a cab to Middlesex General Hospital in New Brunswick, New Jersey, where doctors applied an ice pack and prepared for X-rays. Rilke was alone in the emergency room when the ETs, Coran and Epos, appeared and held their hands over his finger and cured him using body energies. Although the finger was numb for many months, the cure was effective enough to straighten the bone and close the broken skin. When the doctor returned, they found no signs of injury and sent him back to work. Later, Rilke was contacted by the company nurse who had read his hospital file with disbelief. She told Rilke flat out, "You were supposed to lose that finger." She demanded to know what happened, but Rilke remained silent about his alien friends. 3. Another case involving the healing of a finger wound comes from UFO investigator Timothy Green Beckley. In this case, the witness was healed by mysterious methods during what appeared to be a simple sighting, but was clearly something more. Case #065. Cut finger. At 10:15 p.m. on July 8, 1974, numerous witnesses observed a glowing object hovering over Prospect Park in Brooklyn, New York. One of the witnesses, Claudia Motleo, the editor of a well-known financial magazine, looked up and saw a strange glow hover over an apartment building on Cato Avenue. Motleo quickly got another witness. She pointed out the object to Brandon Blackmer, who was himself a successful New York City syndicated columnist. Blackmer watched as the object performed a wobbling in a falling leaf motion, rising up and down repeatedly. Suddenly the object zoomed closer, so that Blackmer could clearly see an illuminated compartment beneath the craft. Eventually the craft left and he returned home. To his dismay, he couldn't find his keys and had to call the building superintendent to be admitted into his own apartment. Once inside, he came upon a bizarre mystery. Says Blackmer, "I was dumbfounded to find the set of keys lying smack in the middle of the bed after entering the apartment. There was no way the keys could have been there as he had locked the apartment when he left. Then came the final shocker. Earlier that day he had slashed his finger, which he quickly bandaged. That evening before going to bed, he removed the bandage to be confronted by another mystery. Says Blackmer, "When I removed the wrapping, I discovered, much to my amazement, that the wound was completely healed, as though absolutely nothing at all had happened." For an interesting aspect of Blackmer's finger healing is that it was done by unknown means. Blackmer has no recall of being taken on board a UFO. He didn't see any aliens. Nor was he struck by any beams of light. Instead, it appears that his healing was caused by exposure to UFO energies, or the mere presence of the UFO itself. The actual mechanism behind the healing remains a matter of speculation. Interestingly, however, this manner of healing is not unique. As we shall see, there are many other examples of healings due to the witness being in close proximity to a UFO. Some people are healed by less mysterious means. In many cases, people are simply taken on board a UFO and given an operation, such as the following. Case #080. Arm injury. Sometime in the mid-1970s, Kotak T. Anthony Champla, pseudonym, of Florida, was taken aboard a UFO and healed of an injury to his hand and arm, due to a fall. Anthony claims to be in contact with Pleiades. His memory of the healing event is sketchy. He recalls that both he and his friend were taken on board a craft, examined, and then he was healed. Like many people who have been healed, Anthony says a beam of light was responsible. It was a slow-moving beam of light, he said, describing his experience, and it slowly hit you. And you sort of watched it. I thought, is it going to hurt? No, it isn't going to hurt, a woman replied. What are you doing? He asked. Is there some part of your body that is broken? The woman asked. Yes, Anthony replied. You're fixing it? Yes, she said. We're repairing it. Anthony still doesn't remember exactly what happened. To this day, he says, I don't remember what it was they fixed. Because I kept trying to think, what was broken? I can't remember what was broken. That was the funny thing about it. I remember some discussion that something was broken. And I remember that they were repairing it. But I don't remember what it was that was broken. What I do remember is that when I was lying down, I was no longer in clothes. I remember some aspects of it. She said. Are you ashamed? I said, no, something like that. I forget the actual details of it, but my other friend was there, and he was watching, and he was thinking, this guy's naked. And she asked him, are you ashamed? And he said, yes, so I don't know. He went into another room. 5. While many of the healing cases come from contactees and friendly human-looking ETs, the majority involve grey-type ETs and other kinds of aliens. The following case, investigated by Brad and Sherry Hansen-Steiger, displays many of the typical elements of a UFO healing. Case #103. Hand cut. In 1983, a married couple who owned a farm in the Midwestern United States were loading livestock in preparation for sale when the wife cut her hand. The wound became inflamed and infected, so the woman went to her doctor, who prescribed antibiotic medication. He told her that the wound would take several weeks to heal. The next morning, she was walking outside and saw a glowing, egg-shaped craft descend from the sky toward her. Suddenly she found herself inside a brightly lit room filled with strange high-tech equipment. Three short beings wearing surgical masks surrounded her. The witness passed out, writes Steiger. When she awakened back in the field, she discovered that her hand was completely healed. 6. In the above case, the witness doesn't actually remember being healed, though due to the nature of her experience, it can be reasonably assumed that the healing was done inside the UFO. Some cases, such as this next one, are equally mystifying. Case #162. Finger injury, dental healing. Late one summer evening in 1990, Vasilia of Kolva Base, Verk, in Komi, Russia was lying in bed reading while his wife slept next to him. He heard a strange popping sound and the window flew open. As he got up, he heard a humming noise. After smoking a cigarette, he closed the window and was about to go to bed when he heard a voice telling him to pick up the book and he would be able to read it faster than before. Vasily picked up the book and found himself speed reading it at an impossible speed. He then heard a voice which said, "We are going to examine you." A strange whirling energy swept from his head downward. He heard voices and felt his entire body being scanned, including his organs. He felt his teeth and jaw being fixed. His little finger, which had been injured earlier, was also healed. Vasily next found himself sitting in a chair in a very large grey room with no corners. Another woman sat next to him. She was more than 6 feet tall, with black eyes and a tiny nose. He saw another taller, more muscular figure. One of the beings approached him and said that Vasily would be going with them. Vasily became fearful and refused. Suddenly he found himself waking up in bed, breaking free of a temporary paralysis. He looked in the mirror and saw another image of a skinny, grey being. The humming sound was still present when Vasily heard the beings speak to him telepathically. They asked him why he didn't want to go with them. Vasily found himself transported back to them where they showed him a strange engine and asked him more questions. The aliens then said they were leaving. Vasily felt a sharp pain in his solar plexus and woke up in bed. The humming sound, which had been present throughout the encounter, now faded away and Vasily went back to sleep. 7. For some people, it is the presence of a miraculous healing that provides the evidence that they are in contact with aliens, such as in the following case. Case #193. Pulled arm muscle. Beginning in January 1994, Chuck Weiss, a driver from San Francisco, California, began waking up to notice strange marks on his body. Also, he began to experience bizarre phone problems and strange ringing noises in his head. But it was what happened on the evening of February the 21st, 1994 that really woke Weiss up to the possibility that he was being contacted by aliens. Weiss was working out on his exercise machine when he strained his left arm. The pain was so bad that it forced him to hold his arm tightly against his body. He sat down on the couch and was trying to decide what to do when something strange happened. "I felt something press several times against my lower back at the base of my spine," writes Weiss. "The sensation lasted a good 2 or 3 seconds. I looked behind me. There was nothing on the couch, but then I noticed that my arm and chest no longer hurt." Weiss was stunned. In the space of a minute, the pain disappeared completely. By this time, he was keeping a diary to catalog the strange events. He wrote, "1 minute severe pain, the next nothing. This is not natural. What's happening to me? Weiss's strange experiences continued, including more instances of healings. 8. Weiss did not see any beings during his healing event. But as investigators know, UFO entities sometimes exhibit the ability to turn invisible. Cases like Weiss's are unusual. Most healing cases involve the presence of a UFO or an entity or both. The following case is typical in many ways, presenting many of the procedures often reported by abductees. What makes this case particularly unusual is that the witness was fully conscious throughout the entire experience and was able to converse extensively with the ETs. Also unusual, the witness was healed of an injury that occurred during his encounter. Case #223. Hand cut, shoulder injury. On September 20, 1999, a computer specialist was working in Mamwashi, Japan. It was around 2:00 a.m. And Tim, pseudonym, was taking a relaxing walk on the beach after a long 12-hour workday. Suddenly a bright light shone down from the land alongside the beach, followed by a loud boom. The light was now rising and changing colors. Thinking there was an accident, Tim approached the light. He tried to call the police on his cell phone, but it was strangely malfunctioning. He suddenly felt a sense of danger. Filled with fear, he ran. He fell off the path and gashed his hand open. Injured and scared, Tim decided to head back to his car. I stood back up on my feet, he says, but when I looked forward, no more than 10 meters away, that small guy with his huge head was staring at me. My legs gave up on me at the very same moment. I was shaking so much that I couldn't even scream for help. Thinking about it now, I am not half the man I thought I was. Tim noticed a second figure about 75 feet away. He was so shocked, he couldn't even think. The worst part for me, he says, was the staring. Those big, black, shiny eyes were so indifferent, so cold. Those eyes saw right through me. Tim heard a voice in his head. Come down, now, it said. No harm will come to you. Come down, now. Tim became scared. He held his injured hand and took a defensive position. No harm will come to you, the voice repeated. What do you want from me? Tim asked. To teach, the voice replied. I don't understand. What do you want to teach me? No harm will come to you. I am here to answer your questions. I am here to show you our ways. If you mean me no harm, Tim replied, can I go home now? I am no more alien to you than you are to me, the figure said. I am here to help you, to guide you. I cannot force you to see what I want to show you. What will happen to me if I choose to see what you want to show me? No harm will come to you. I will show you our way. I will guide you. Will I be allowed to go home after that? Yes, the alien replied. Tim found himself following the two figures to a small platform-like device. They were whisked upward about 100 feet into a large triangular-shaped craft. Now inside a dark rounded room, the figures led Tim out of the room into another room with an exam table in the center. He was instructed to sit on the table. One of them took my hand and pointed a pen-like instrument toward my wound. I felt like getting an electrical shock, so I pulled my hand away. As I looked at my wound, cleaning the blood using my shirt, it was fully closed and a small scar replaced the wound. I was amazed. Once more, it pointed the instrument on my shoulder, and the pain was gone, after the shock, of course. Tim was then led through the ship, shown the control room and other things. He watched as the craft he was in was chased by military jets. The UFO evaded the jets by darting into deep space. The beings then told Tim that humanity was at the end of a life cycle and that only those who are capable of organizing and learning will be allowed to go through the next cycle. They told him that humanity was not ready, and would be destroyed. Tim protested and they gave him a long explanation about their mission to teach our species. They said, no harm will come to those who are willing to understand and learn. The ETs told him that they had made a pact with human leaders. They gave the Earth leaders their technology. In exchange, the ETs were allowed to contact people individually as long as they agreed not to impose their presence on humanity at large. We will help those who can be saved, they said. No harm will come to you. Says Tim, we walked back to the corridor. Back to the rounded room where we arrived. I was dropped about 30 kilometers away from where my car was parked. I never spoke a word about what happened that night, and I never went back to that beach alone again, especially at night time. This is my story. Feel free to discard it, or publish it, but do not try to locate or contact me in any way. I will not discuss this in public. 9. The following case, reported to MUFO, is a typical example of a bedroom visitation, with a UFO healing. Once again, we see lights being used to heal. Case #260. Hand injury. Cawthry, pseudonym, of Fresno, California, reports that she and her family have experienced a wide variety of inexplicable events. Cawthry had a visitation in which she saw a figure holding a light, and then vanished. Her mother saw a cigar-shaped UFO hover directly over their home. At the same time, Cawthry and her sister, who was working in Canada, both experienced strange poltergeist-like activity. In addition to this, Cawthry reports being followed in her car by apparent strangers. Also, she was having scary dreams of hiding in panic from UFOs. In 2010, Cawthry injured her hand. One evening she woke up to a feeling of two beams on my body, one on my hand, and the other somewhere near my stomach. She fell back asleep. When Cawthry woke up, she realized her hand no longer hurt. She remembered the beam of light. She now feels that it he I was having pain in that hand, which I no longer have. Cawthry reports other healing-like encounters. I have also had a few experiences when I could actually feel a presence and a feeling of total peace and tranquility, like they were somehow doing something to me to make me feel a good feeling. In addition to all this, Cawthry recalls a missing time episode from her childhood. She is now considering hypnotic regression and is hoping to meet other people who have undergone similar experiences. 10. The above cases complete the catalogue of healings of the hands and arms. The accounts reach back more than 100 years and come from across the United States and the world. While some of the cases are better verified than others, the sheer number of them and their remarkable similarities lend credence to the reality of what is being described. The motive behind the healings remains unclear. Some appear to be accidental, while others are clearly intentional. While a few of the above cases involve severe hand or arm injuries, most are minor, and yet the ETs still healed them. Why would ETs heal someone of a minor injury that is not likely to cause them significant discomfort or disability? Are they just being nice? Are they displaying their ability and leaving proof of contact? Are they experimenting? These kinds of questions are difficult to answer, especially with only a small sampling of cases. But as we shall see in the following chapters, we now have a very large collection of cases. And as we continue our exploration into the healing power of UFOs, answers to these questions and others begin to reveal themselves. Chapter 4,